So, we're going to talk about Jesus' resurrection. Obviously, the rest of the world is celebrating it today. It's the one of 2 days they go to church a year, because it's the day he was born and the day he rose from the dead. So, if you don't know about Easter, I would suggest that you do a study on Easter and see where it actually comes from. And like Mike said, it came from the Catholic Church back in the 1300s, and you should be aware about it and what it really stands for. But that's not our lesson today. Our lesson today is about Jesus raising from the dead and his resurrection, and that's always been a source of conflict from the beginning. As you look through the scriptures, you see this point. As we saw in our scripture reading in Acts 17, thank you, Randy, for doing that, people were all ears with Paul and what he was saying on Mars Hill. Until he made the point about Jesus being raised from the dead. And what was the reaction? Some sneered, as the New American Standard says, and others mocked, scoffed, ridiculed him, as other translations said. But others believed. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, what was one of their main differences? The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. In Matthew 22 and 23... and Acts 23 and 8, we see this. Paul, of course, used this to his advantage when he was arrested in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 23. He used it to pit the Sadducees and the Pharisees against them. So, you also see all the apostles taught about Jesus' resurrection as one of the primary points of teaching about Jesus. For those who are taking notes, Acts 4:33. As we have already seen, Paul used it on Mars Hill. Peter used it on the very first sermon on the day of Pentecost. So while you're turning to Acts chapter 2, about verse 22, how long is Pentecost from now? Anyone know? No answers? Huh? 50 days? Well, it was 50 days from Passover, so it's 48 days. Gotta listen to the question. All right? So trick questions, always. All right, so in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God and miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined God and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hand of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power." Let's skip down to verse 29. "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus raised up again, to which we were all witnesses." So a little bit later on, Peter and John got arrested when they had healed the lame man, right? And what was their arrest about? In Acts chapter 4, verse 1, "As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain and the temple of the guard, the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail till the next day." So if you get the chance in the next week or so, pull up your little electronic Bible and you look up the resurrection and raised from the dead. If you're old school, you pull up one of these. This is called a concordance for you young people who don't know what it is. This book, in this book are all the words in the Bible and where they're found and how they're used. So this is what we used to do before you could hold everything in your hand and search for anything. So there are ways to do it if you don't have your phone. So anyways, if you look it up, you'll find more than 70 scriptures on resurrection and raised from the dead. So if Jesus' resurrection is talked so much about, it should mean something to us, shouldn't it? But sometimes to understand something, we really need to look at it in a reverse direction, right? So from the reverse angle. So let's first look at it. What would it mean if Jesus didn't raise from the dead? So if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then Jesus is dead, just like everyone else who has ever passed away. However, he leaves the question, where is his body? Is it somewhere in a tomb that nobody seems to know where it is? All other religious leaders, we can always go to their tombs. Muhammad, Joseph Smith, all the popes, Martin Luther. Peter said, David, we know where his tomb is back then. We know where all them are buried. Fact is, if Jesus really didn't resurrect from the dead, he's just dead. And it doesn't really matter where his body is. If Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then Jesus is not your perfect sacrifice for sins. Because he's a liar. He would have lied. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. In Luke 18, 32 through 34, he will be handed over to the Gentiles, will be mocked, mistreated, spit upon, and after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again. There's at least eight scriptures recorded for us that stated Jesus said he was going to raise from the dead. He was going to be killed and raised up on the third day. For those taking notes, you can do John 16, 16, Mark 9, 30, Mark 10, 32 through 34, Matthew 17, 9, Matthew 17, 22 through 23, Matthew 20, 17, John 2, 19, Luke 9, 44 through 45. And if you didn't get all those, come see me afterwards. I'll give them to you. So no resurrection means Jesus is a liar. Therefore, he's a sinner. He said he was going to do something like raise from the dead, and he didn't, so he lied. Therefore, he can't then be perfect sacrifice for our sins. So that would mean you would still be in your sins, and you have no way to get rid of them, because how can you do it on your own? There's nothing you can do. So if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, then Jesus isn't your judge. And you don't have to worry about repentance and being judged by a righteous man, because really there isn't one. And Paul was just lying on Mars Hill, as we read in our scripture reading earlier. So if Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, Jesus did not ascend to heaven. He's not sitting on God's right hand. So as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, oops, I'm ahead of myself, ain't I? as we see in Hebrews chapter 12, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right side of the throne of God. So this would be another lie if Jesus didn't raise from the dead. So if he's not at the right hand of God, we can't pray through him. We can't lay our petitions and problems at his feet. He can't be our advocate with you and the Father. He can't be the mediator of a covenant between you and God. He's not the author and perfecter of your faith. He's not your Lord or high priest. Fact is, you have nothing to have faith in. So you good Bible students know where I have to go next. Yeah, you can't do a lesson like this without going to which chapter? Be 1 Corinthians 15, right? Because Paul addressed this whole issue, right? So let's see what Paul had to say in Acts chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 12. So now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also vain. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. In fact, the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are men to be most pitied. Let's go to verse 29. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? The Mormons like to take this verse and completely out of context. What they do is they line people up and they baptize them for people that have passed away previously. Last time I knew, they were back in the 1300s somewhere, but that was a long time ago, so I'm sure they're way, way older than that. The question is, in context, who is the dead talking about that hasn't been raised? Well, the whole chapter is about Jesus, right? So if Jesus hasn't been raised, or the whole chapter talks about Jesus being raised, whose name were you baptized in? Hopefully it was in the name of Jesus. So why were you baptized in the name of Jesus if he didn't resurrect? Makes no sense, right? So if Jesus has not been resurrected, and you do not truly believe that Jesus was resurrected, then you have nothing and nothing to look forward to. And we have a word for that. It's called hope. But you have no hope now because he didn't resurrect, if that's the case. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we even doing here this morning? Why are we gathered together listening to some big ugly guy who's full of hot air if Jesus didn't resurrect? All right, here's the real truth. Let's unreverse it now. Let's look at it like it really is. Okay, because we know that Jesus did resurrect. He did come down from heaven. He was God in human form. Jesus was born as a man. Jesus did live a sinless life. Jesus was and is not a liar. Jesus did die on the cross for you. Jesus was buried in a tomb. And Jesus did resurrect on the third day. And Jesus did ascend to heaven, where he currently is sitting at God's right hand. So let's read what else Paul had to say about this. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I also preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved. If, it's a big word, isn't it? If you, lost my space. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you of first importance what I also received. So Paul, what's that first importance there? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he has appeared to Cephas and then the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and then last of all, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also. In Deuteronomy 19:15, how many people do you need to witness something for it to be true? Two or three, right? Do you think we covered two or three? I think I counted 514, but... So, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits from those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, after all those who are Christ at his coming, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all the rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he will abolish is death. So since Jesus has resurrected, he's not in a dead. He's not in a tomb somewhere, like all the other self-proclaimed religious leaders. He's not a liar. He is your perfect sacrifice, so you're not stuck in your sins, because you have the way to be forgiven of them. And everything he taught is true. He is your righteous judge, who you'll stand before, and you'll be judged fairly and righteously according to your deeds. In Romans 2:6 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. Since Jesus resurrected, he is sitting at the right hand of God. And you do have someone to pray to. You can lay your petitions and problems at his feet. He will hear you, and he has the power and authority to do something about them. He does advocate for you with the Father. He is your mediator of the covenant between you and God. Jesus is truly the author and perfecter of your faith. He is your Lord and High Priest. So you can have true hope and faith. You have hope of being resurrected yourself and being in heaven one day with Jesus and the Father, because he is coming back as he promised. Remember, he's not a liar. You have hope that is not in vain. Your faith is not in vain. You don't have to worry about those who have already fallen asleep in Christ, or those who are perishing, or the ones that are already passed on and worried about their faith. Nobody needs to pity you. Instead, they should envy you, and they should want to be like you. Your baptism actually means something if you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Jesus' resurrection should mean everything to you. It's the basis of your hope and faith, your relationship with God. How else could we get to God? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through him, in John 14:6. Jesus' resurrection proves everything he said is true. This should empower you, give you strength, boldness, and take away your fears. Jesus' resurrection, that's God's proof. It's his guarantee to you is that he raised Jesus from the dead, proving to all men that Jesus is God's chosen one. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Savior, the Redeemer. The resurrection of Jesus is God's seal of approval. It's his icing on the cake. It's his proof that's in the pudding. It's God's final answer. Jesus' resurrection is God's exclamation mark. God has declared, "Jesus is my son," and that you need to repent and obey him, because he has fixed a day to judge the world through him by appointing a man, and showed you who that man was by raising him from the dead, in our scripture reading, Acts 17:30-33. So knowing this, it requires some action on your part. The question comes down to, do you really believe that Jesus raised from the dead? If not, I would ask you to give me a better reason or explanation of what actually happened. If you do believe, then you have a choice to make. You can obey him and be resurrected to life eternal, or say, it's untrue, it doesn't matter, and do nothing, and accept your fate. And when you are resurrected, it'll be to eternal judgment. Our last verse, Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ has raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So how do we know if something's true? We do this in math all the time, right? We look at it in the reverse order, right? 2 + 2 = 4. 4 - 2 = 2, right? We check ourselves in math all the time. So let's look at this scripture in the opposite way and see if it's true. Or do you not know that all of us, so this is the reverse order, remember, all of us that have not been baptized in Christ Jesus have not been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have not been buried with him through baptism into death. So that as Christ was not raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might not walk in the newness of life. For if we had not become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall not also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was not crucified with him, in order that our body of sin was not done away with, so that we would still be slaves to sin. For he who has not died is not free from sin. Interesting way to look at that passage, isn't it? So, with that, if we can help you anyway, if you need prayers, if you want to be baptized, if you just want to learn more about what Christ has for you in this life, we'd ask you to come forward as we sing our closing song.